The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, Buffalo Bills fans, welcome to this episode of The Marino Show. I am your host, Anthony Marino. Happy to be here with you once again. Chatting about the Buffalo Bills and about a few other things as well. It's good to be back with you this week. Hopefully everybody had a good weekend. For those of you I know last week, maybe many of your kids were off for the President's Day holiday week. Maybe you got to spend some time away, whatever it may be. Listen, we're getting towards the end of February here. I always find this to be that stretch, right? You get through the holidays, then the NFL season ends, and it's just like that month of February, you're just kind of like sitting there thinking to yourself, okay, if we can just get to March, I can see the better weather. I can see the springtime coming. Heck, we're even going to get some breaks in the temperature, at least for where I am in upstate New York this week. So hopefully for you too, you kind of been hanging on, you know, the kind of the days are getting a bit longer. That sunlight is hanging around just a little bit more. And before you know it, we'll be outside, you'll be grilling, you'll be on the golf course. And obviously, before you know it, we'll be talking about the NFL Combine, free agency, the draft. Those things coming quick. And honestly, the Combine coming this week. That really seemed to kind of pop up kind of quickly for me. And maybe it did for you too, I'm not sure. But, you know, it's one of those pieces now at the time of this recording, just a couple of days away. You'll actually be hearing from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean this week. Maybe even by the time that you hear this podcast, you will have heard from them already. And I think as you go through that, right, it's one of those pieces where you're just like, okay, that rumor mill is going to start going. I think we'll have a better inkling on maybe, you know, guys that the Buffalo Bills could be re-signing, even though we know they've got some work as it relates to the salary cap to do, that could be there. Maybe you'll start to see some contract restructures taking place. We know some of that is going to have to take place. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. And maybe there will be some guys that that end up getting cut and released from the Bills. Again, some of those cap casualties where maybe things won't necessarily work out. But there's a lot to figure out at this point. And I think this is always kind of a fun time of year. I realize for some folks, there's always that disappointment that kind of lingers from the end of the regular season, the end of the playoffs. I totally get that. But now to me, it's that time you get to look forward, right? You get to be a little bit excited about what this team can look like in the future. And at least for myself, I think I said this before. I know a lot of people keep saying like, oh, this is a huge offseason for Brandon Bean. Every offseason is huge. Right? Every single one that you kind of go through. And maybe it doesn't even feel that big because you think of the years past where so much was either tied to the Buffalo Bills finding a quarterback, what they would do with that, or even just like, okay, don't have the quarterback. So every other pick, every other addition that you make feels so big because you don't have that most important position in sports figured out. But the Buffalo Bills do with Josh Allen. And, you know, as we go through that, it kind of makes this an exciting offseason. You know, and it's funny because we'll start talking about the draft a lot more with the Combine this week. You will see risers and fallers. You will see guys start to really kind of step up and what that looks like. And that will be fun. But it's kind of putting the cart before the horse. because I think in so many ways when we talk about it, it's just like, hey, yeah, the draft is exciting. Mock drafts are fun. I love them. I consume as many as I possibly can. If you've done a mock draft, like, send it my way. I'd love to see it. You can do that on Twitter at Anth Marino. But it depends on what happens during free agency that might determine part of that. And I get it. We can talk about best player available and all these things. But, like, let's just say, for example, if the Bills re-sign A.J. Epenesa and Daquan Jones, okay, well, then defensive line might not be as glaring a hole going into the draft as maybe we thought it would be. Now, if they don't re-sign either of those players and they really just come in with Greg Rousseau and Ed Oliver and, you know, whatever shape Von Miller might be in, well, okay, then yeah, maybe that's more of a priority when we go in and kind of looking at some of those draft prospects and what it can be. I do think for many of us, all eyes will be on the wide receivers during the NFL Combine. Is, you know, you look at it, I know there are some that are 100% all in. It has to be wide receiver in the first round. But I do think there's a lot of prospects, too, in the second round, in the third round. You know, if you think of guys that could be drafted in those first 2 days, would expect the Bills to be active to that extent. Because it just based on the cost of wide receivers these days, there's probably not anything that the Bills can do during the draft or during free agency to get an impact maker. Like, even with the salary cap, and I'll talk about that in a minute, I just don't even see them being able to afford to bring Gabriel Davis back, right? So that is a challenge. It's a challenge for the Bills. It's a challenge for Brandon Bean, but I'm excited about it. I really am. I don't know why. It sounds kind of weird. It's almost like, gosh, I love the season. I love the games. It's so much fun. But man, this is a close second for me. I enjoy this like way too much. And this is the time of year where you think of the content that is out there and you start to think about what the team can do, that it just, there's an excitement that comes with it. And it's almost like, you know, I'm consuming Buffalo Bills content from the great content creators and beat reporters that are out there literally every day of the year. And it's just fun. It's almost like a weird type of addiction. But you go through, I've talked about Greg Thompson, the work that he does in talking about the salary cap and what the Bills can do. Of course, everybody here at Buffalo Rumblings are kind of talking about and starting to make that shift at this time. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, and just my weekly appearance with Pat Moran on Talking Buffalo, as we kind of, you know, again, we're making this shift. You look at the guys that you want the Bills to bring back, and it's certainly an exciting time of year. I do feel like things got a little bit more exciting for the Bills and for any team that is a little bit strapped against the salary cap, because the announcement came out from the NFL late last week that the salary cap would actually be increasing to over $255 million per team. I've got a tweet here from Tom Pelissero, and this is an article at BuffaloRumblings.com, right on the homepage. So visit BuffaloRumblings.com. Hopefully you do every day to kind of get the latest and greatest on the team. But Pelissero writes, the NFL announced today that the 2024 salary cap will be $255.4 million per club, with an additional $74 million per club payment for player benefits, which includes performance-based pay and benefits for retired players. Now, as noted in the article here, prior to Friday's news, the figure bandied about was $242.5 million. So we're talking about like a $13 million increase with this. Now listen, I am not smart enough to do all the salary cap gymnastics that are necessary. We've seen Joe Biscaglia do that at The Athletic so far. Greg Thompson has done that so far on his podcast. I encourage you to check both of those out, knowing that the Bills have to make some moves. And these guys have gone through the activity to make that happen with the anticipation that that salary cap was going to be like $242 million. Well, now it's $13 million higher than that. So you can go through all those moves that they had discussed, right? And it's not just like, okay, yeah, you can become cap compliant. You can afford to sign your draft picks. You know, initially part of it was like, okay, maybe you can do one of those Connor McGovern type of contracts, you know, probably around 3 years, $20 million, whether that be for somebody like a Daquan Jones or an AJ Epenesa or somebody that's not on the roster right now. you know, you might have a little bit of flexibility to do something like that. Well, now you add an additional $13 million on top of that. And listen, this is not a, like, now all of a sudden the Bills are going to be big spenders and going after some of the biggest names in free agency. That's not the case. But maybe it does allow them to, hey, if they want to re-sign Daquan Jones and A.J. Epenesa, they might be able to do that. Or one of those guys with someone external, like a, you know, a Leonard Floyd type of contract that they did last year, or maybe Leonard Floyd himself. There's some more flexibility there for the Buffalo Bills and for Brandon Beam that you can be, you know, let's put it this way. Free agency was looking like, yeah, it's going to be a bunch of those $1 to $1.7 million deals again this season, similar to what they did last year, right, in the early phases of free agency, minus the Deontay Hardy contract and minus the contract for McGovern, who I just talked about before. So now there's this piece of like, okay, those legal tampering days might be a little bit more intriguing, a little bit more exciting than I thought they would have been. Whether or not that is going to be the case, we will certainly find out. But that was some really good news for the Buffalo Bills. Now, again, it's good news for every team in the NFL. Like, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when you're in a position where you are that strapped against the cap, like, okay, yeah, you got to make some moves. And I realize some of you, maybe if you haven't checked the article from Joe Biscaglia or the podcast from Greg Thompson, maybe you haven't, you know, looked at the math just yet, but the Bills can basically become cap compliant with these new numbers, this new salary cap of $255 million with a restructure to Josh Allen's contract and a restructure to Stephon Diggs' contract. That's it. A simple restructure, right, of just kind of restructuring a base salary, switching it to a signing bonus and prorating it over the contract. That would basically free up about $37 million, which is the gap that you would be looking at for the Bills now with this new number. Now, that might not be exactly what you want to do, at least as it relates to Stephon Diggs, and, you know, maybe it's, you know, now that he's on the wrong side of 30, maybe that's not where you want to go, but there's so many other moves you can make. You can do a simple restructure to guys like Connor McGovern and Ed Oliver. That can happen. Greg Thompson had talked about that before. You can do contract extensions to guys like Teron Johnson, Rasul Douglas, Deion Dawkins, even Mitch Morris. So there's things out there that the Bills can do that doesn't even get into cutting players or giving guys pay cuts at this time. Rasul Douglas is an interesting conversation. I did put this out on Twitter the other day. Because I was listening, I think it was Joe Marino who was talking on Locked On Bills. Like, what are some of the comparable contracts that somebody like Rasul Douglas would get if the Bills were going to give him a contract extension? He's got 1 year, $9 million left on his deal from when he was traded last season, coming over from Green Bay. And the Bills can do a couple of things. They can either add a couple void years to probably free up about $4 million on the cap this year if they wanted to. Or they can do a contract extension in a similar way, spread out that money over a number of years, lock him in as a valuable piece to the defense, and see what you can do. And the part where I'm going with this, when you talk about some of the comparable contracts, Joe Marino was talking about, I think, in the average of $13 million per season, which to me seemed a bit high, right? I thought for someone like Rasul Douglas, maybe eventually transitions back to a safety, right? Going to be turning 30 later this summer. Basically came to the Bills for the value of a fourth round draft pick, right? Because it was a third round pick that the Bills sent. They got Rasul Douglas, but they also got a fifth round pick in return, right? So if you look at those things and you're just doing the draft chart, it's like, okay, if you're getting a fourth round pick and a fifth round pick for a late third, that probably adds up if you do the math. But when Joe was talking about some of those comparables, it was like, man, okay, $13 million per year, that kind of seems like a lot. And, you know, in some ways, it's like I look at that Von Miller contract, obviously with Stephon Diggs right on the wrong side of 30. You look at Tre'Davious White, what the team is, you know, what they're going to decide to do, how much they have tied up in him. I guess what I'm saying is giving some of these more lucrative contract extensions to guys that are over the age of 30, is that something that you want to do? And I don't know, right? I was like posing the question on Twitter of like, hey, you know, should you just wait. Like, should you start to see how this season goes? If things start to work, then look at a contract extension, especially if you are, you know, potentially going to transition him to safety, which that's where he started. You see some of these guys that have that ability go back and forth. I'm not saying that the Bills should do that right now. That is not the case. But it was just like, are we kind of jumping the gun on this contract extension based on 7 games that he played for the team last year, albeit pretty fantastic the way he played for the Bills? Are we just jumping the gun? So I put that out on Twitter and had a number of guys I know and trust kind of jump in that, like, you can definitely take that wait and see approach if you need to. And maybe this new salary cap number affords the Bills that opportunity that they don't have to do that right away, that they can wait and see. And again, nothing would make me happier than to look at it and say, hey, we traded a 4th round value for Rasul Douglas, and he comes in and he's performing at a Pro Bowl type level, and we're happy to have this guy, and let's lock him up for a couple more years and be a solid piece to that defense. So I guess I was just saying with it, like, I just didn't want to get ahead of myself, and I put that out there. But maybe you think the same. Maybe you think a little bit differently. Certainly let me know. As I said earlier, you can find me on Twitter at @AnthMarino at any time. And it's always great to catch up with all of you, right? It's always a lot of fun. For some of the, sometimes when you wonder to yourself, like, why am I on this Twitter.com website or whatever you call it these days? And, you know, some of the interactions, some folks out there just have like an axe to grind or just want to be negative about things. But for the most part, there's a lot of great conversations you have going back and forth. You engage with the right people. You have a lot of fun. And I certainly always enjoy it. And I hope you do too. So listen, I'm going to take a quick break right now. I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk to you about what I'm watching, as we do each and every week. So hang tight. I'll be right back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to this episode of The Marino Show. I am your host, Anthony Marino. Happy to be here with you, talking Buffalo Bills. And before the break, touching base on the new salary cap, what's taking place there, kind of the scenario where the Bills may be and where they can find themselves. So this week, as we talk about what I'm watching, at least a new series to me and to the family, and we're only 2 episodes in, so I don't even have too much of a take. But you know, for any of the parents out there, you might be in a scenario where it's like sometimes when your kids say, hey, what should we watch? And, you know, they get to that age where everybody's got an opinion. They're, varying opinions based on their age and their likes. And especially when your kids are teenagers, that you find yourself in a scenario where it might just be like a little bit like, gosh, okay, this is tough to find something. Well, the other day with a couple of the kids, and we started to watch the new Percy Jackson and the Olympians series that is on Disney Plus. And from that scenario, we watched the first 2 episodes and definitely got hooked. I'm not one of those. I have not read any of the Percy Jackson books, have not watched any of the other iterations of this beforehand. But just something where it's like, hey, you got a little bit of time. I'm sure many of you, maybe as your kids get older, can relate. Like, you don't traditionally have the opportunity to sit down and watch things together, maybe as you did when the kids were younger. And, you know, you get through those first 2 episodes and you think to yourself, like, man, all right, I'm hooked. Even my 17-year-old, who's a little skeptical at the beginning, and he was kind of like, I don't know if I really want to watch this. He's sitting there. And about 5 minutes in, you could tell, like, okay, he's pretty locked in with this. That's going to be all right. So like I said, we caught the first 2 episodes. I really enjoyed it. Looking forward to delving in just a bit more to see kind of what comes next with this. And I will say this, and I apologize if I'm pronouncing the name wrong, but the star of the show, who plays Percy Jackson, Walker Scobell, you know, I think is fantastic. Really, what I had seen him before, the first time, it was called The Adam Project. And if you have not watched that yet, it's a movie with Ryan Reynolds that's also on, it's on Netflix. And if you get to kind of watch that, I think just a fantastic story. Jennifer Garner in that as well. And certainly a lot of fun. Now, for those of you that do follow me on Twitter, I did put a question out the other day. I've never seen the movie Draft Day. And is that something that I need to watch? It was like 70% of you chimed in saying, I definitely need to check out the movie that stars Kevin Costner and kind of tied around the NFL draft. So in a future episode, I'll kind of share my thoughts on that. Traditionally with this, when I talk about what I'm watching, I don't share any spoilers. But considering Draft Day's been out for like a decade or so, I feel like it'll be pretty safe to jump in on that. So I will be watching Draft Day. I will share that probably in next week's episode. So stay tuned. I'm sure you're sitting on the edge of your seat to figure out what I'm interested in when it comes, or my thoughts when it comes to the movie Draft Day. So listen, let me do this. I am going to get out of here for now. I always appreciate you guys tuning in. It's a lot of fun. It's great to be back talking with all of you, as I said before, right? Took a break during the regular season. So many other great shows out there and people covering the regular season. For me, the chance to come back, kind of, you know, rebrand things as the Marino Show. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate interacting with each and every one of you. So I just wanted to say thank you so much. And for those of you that have subscribed to the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network, anywhere that you get your podcasts or doing so on YouTube as well, we appreciate that because we've got some great shows, some great folks putting together content for you each and every day, each and every week throughout the season and the off season. And I think it's just a great way to stay connected with fans like yourself that love the Buffalo Bills. So, all right, I am out of here for now. Thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, go Bills.